This is episode 70 of My Yukon Life Podcast Radio. This week's show, a special guest, Greg Girard, from Canada A Tourism and Travel, is brought to you by Ground Effect Media. Ground Effect Media specializes in creating effective and affordable websites for small to medium businesses. Be sure to ask us about our social media packages. Find us on the web at groundeffectmedia.com. This is Jennifer Hawks. You're listening to My Yukon Life Podcast Radio. Do you dream of someday visiting the Yukon, but you're just not sure where to go and what you should see? Greg Girard is here this week from the network of Canada A Tourism and Travel websites. It's going to make it a little easier for you to decide, or maybe a little tougher, because he's got lots of great suggestions. That's coming up a little later in the podcast. Whitehorse musician Fawn Fritzen has a CD coming out the first part of next year. She sings, plays piano, performs popular jazz standards, and writes her own songs, which sound as if they too came from the 1920s. Fawn Fritzen will be our special guest later this month. She'll talk about her music and how she creates these wonderful songs. Fawn will also perform one of her originals from her upcoming album. She is with Cry Me a River, the classic jazz standard written by Arthur Hamilton.
Hello, this is Fawn Fritzen, and you're listening to My Yukon Life with Jennifer Hawks.
I've cried a river.
That was Fawn Fritzen, who will be with us later this month. Like My Yukon Life's Facebook page to receive announcements on upcoming shows. I was attending the Outland British Columbia fly-in this past weekend. More on that during next week's podcast, which will feature the event. I'll tell you though, on my way home yesterday, I stopped at a lake to do some fishing. The only company I had was a bald eagle across the water, sitting on top of the highest pine tree. It's a lake that doesn't see many people, and the fish were hungry. I lost a few good ones before I finally landed a 19-inch long lake trout. I'd heard that the eggs from a freshly caught Yukon lake trout are delicious, better than any served in a Japanese restaurant. And so while I was cleaning it, I scooped out the string of eggs and held it in the air, watching the light catch the orange sacs. I lowered it into my mouth and tasted the sweet and slightly salty eggs one bite at a time. They were delicious, and when I was done, I felt kind of primitive, actually. It was also empowering and freeing. On the drive home, I watched a black bear leave the road and disappear into the bush. Sometime during the weekend, I thought I saw three bear cubs crossing the road far in front of me, but they were actually closer than that. And they weren't bears at all. It was a herd of three porcupines. Wildlife sightings like these are never guaranteed in the Yukon, but they're not unusual. Our special guest on My Yukon Life this week is Greg Girard, who, along with his brother Colin, founded the Canada A Network of travel websites. I spoke with Greg by phone at his home in southern Canada. I asked him to offer My Yukon Life listeners suggestions and ideas about what to see and what to do while in the Yukon. Greg, what's behind Canada A?
Ever since we were a child, we've been very outdoors-ish. Our previous lives, before we started Canada A, both of us were more under the corporate thumb. Colin's been working in the tourism industry, and he started around the year 2000, he started with one website, and myself, I used to work in Edmonton at the time, and we both wanted to sort of take our hobbies and make a living out of it. Didn't have to be a great living, more of a quality of life opposed to a quantity of life. With that sort of system, we sort of broke away, we decided to leave our jobs, and we went and ran at this with everything we've got. We built it from one little website for a community on Vancouver Island named Sydney. We found that we had a different philosophy maybe than the corporate and government type of websites, or more of a people-to-people website. And we also do all our own research, which we found was very rare with a lot of our competitors, where a lot of the information was sent in and a lot of the people within the industry weren't actually seeing these things, where we go out and actually see it. So we can really be knowledgeable about it. We have a lot of passion behind it, and it just took off. And we built one for Vancouver Island, then we built one for British Columbia, and then we just took off from there. And we said, you know what? Let's just do this thing Canada wide. And we started off on a massive road trip about 6 years ago, and started hitting each little area a little bit at a time. And then it's really started taking off. So we've pretty much have covered all of Canada from west, east, north to south. And with that, we've got all the information. I mean, just here in my office, I have probably close to about 20 of those plastic hampers of information and brochures and notes and pictures and videos and things like that. And we compile it all and put it all together.
Tell folks how they can find your main website.
It's pretty easy. Search anything online with the word A in it, and you'll come up. Our sites will come up very easy. We also position for all the main search terms for tourism and travel. And we have 18 websites. All of them have the word A in it. And if you search for accommodations, attractions, parks, trails, activities, adventures, historic sites, usually we will come up on the first page.
Now, for those folks who are not familiar with, I guess you'd call it Canadian slang, when you say A, you mean the letters E-H, is that right?
This is correct, yes.
If they just want to go to a website and they want to skip the search engine, they can go to Canada A.
CanadaA.net. We use net because we have a network of sites. It's the only network in Canada where it's a conglomeration of websites. So we use the word network because there's 18 websites within our network right now, and we plan on having 30 by the time we're done.
What about the Yukon? Because obviously people listening to the podcast here are especially interested in the Yukon. I know you've been here before. Why don't you give them some tips on where they might want to visit in the Yukon when they come up here?
Okay. For one, I think a lot depends with the Yukon. It depends on what you like and what hobbies and what attracts you. For ourselves, we're very outdoorsish. We love scenery. We love history. We love wildlife photography. So we're more if we were looking at ourselves, we're more of the hiking trails, going to the parks, summit a mountain, climb a cliff. That's more of our thing. If you're looking on the more of sightseeing older generation, I think the Yukon is the ideal location and ideal destination for road trips, RVing. Huge that way. The highways take you to some places that are absolutely majestic. Probably it's pretty hard to find another place that where you can drive and you have mountains on all four sides of you. It is one in the lakes. They're not dark ocean blue. What they are, as you know, are they're this bright aqua blue, vibrant alpine lakes that are really to die for out there. And then mm-hmm. You're pretty much guaranteed on any type of road trip, you're going to run into some wildlife. I can't think of one highway in the Yukon all the way from the Atlin Highway to the Dempster to the top of the world where we did not come across wildlife. I think every highway we hit wildlife and a lot of wildlife.
You and I know that when they're going to come to the Yukon, there's a couple, three different ways they can get here. One is simply by driving, and there's not a lot of highways up here. So, yeah. And highway, by the way, we should get this out of the way. It's a relative term up here when we say highway. It's not quite, you know, there's no clover leaves, and it's not even most of the time paved as we know it. It's a different type of coating, and sometimes it's not paved at all, as you know.
Yeah.
So they can drive up here. That's one way. Probably the best thing is to probably grab a map and take a look at their options depending on where they're coming from. But another way is to fly.
Yes.
So they're going to be flying into, most likely they're going to be flying into Whitehorse unless they, say, fly to Vancouver and then drive up. So let's talk about they're going to fly into Whitehorse. From there, what would you suggest they do? Okay, now they're at the airport. Now what?
Well, first thing I think with anything when you get into Whitehorse, there's quite a few that you can see that are very easily accessible in Whitehorse. One is I find with a lot of people when you come into Whitehorse, you cannot go to Whitehorse without taking a dabble into the historic features of Whitehorse. There is so much there that you can get out of Whitehorse, such as, it just for one, the whole Sternwheeler history up and down the Yukon River. You have to see all the Sternwheelers within each city, the one in Dawson City, the one within Whitehorse. And the other thing, when you're within Whitehorse, you cannot go anywhere without going to Mile Canyon. I think you have to see the footbridge. I think you got to go and take the cruise that takes you down the river through the canyon walls. I think that's a must-see expedition.
It's called Yukon River Cruises. What else do you recommend that they do while they're in the area?
One of the big things with the Yukon is the Greenbelt Park Reserve. It covers many of the different types of lakes in the area. Of course, it covers the Swatka, the Chad, and the Chadburn, the Hidden Lakes Park, Miles Canyon, Gray Mountain, and a portion of the Yukon River. With this park, there's so many different access points to it where you can get into areas where I know on a lot of our expeditions, you barely meet a soul along the paths or along the river or along any type of situation of that sort. And I think that's necessary in Whitehorse too, because it really allows you, especially on Gray Mountain, if you can make it to the peak, if you can get as high as that, you can see for hundreds and hundreds of miles in either direction. And you can see the Yukon River, you can see the mountain ranges. It is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. And throughout the whole Greenbelt, you have the viewpoints, you have picnic shelters, you have interpretive signs.
Now, probably the best way for them, I'm guessing, to get around, especially, say, going up to Gray Mountain where there's no buses that take you up there, is to rent a car, which they can do at the airport. They have several options available. They can also rent a motorhome. In town, there's a few places there that they can make those sorts of arrangements, because the airport is up above the town. To get from the airport down to the town, some of the hotels offer shuttle service, but if they want to really explore the area, probably the best way is to make sure they get some wheels of some sort.
I agree. The road up to Gray Mountain is very challenging in a lot of respects. There might be an issue with some of the cars being able to make it up there. I know we had our 4x4s, and even with that, there were some areas where we were spitting out rocks just to get to the top.
And then also, I'd probably recommend when they're going on these trips to make sure that they bring plenty of water and some food, because one of the appeals of the Yukon, for me anyway, the remoteness, the fact that you're not going to see, I don't think we don't even have a single 7-Eleven here, so they really need to be a little more self-sufficient than they might have to be somewhere else, so.
I totally agree, and I think kudos to you guys not having a 7-Eleven.
Yeah. No comment. So what are some other trips, maybe a little bit outside the Whitehorse here, which, again, they can reach by car or by motorhome?
Yeah.
Where else would you suggest that folks go?
But I think if we broke it down to regions, I always sort of make highlights in my head on different sites for regions. I think if you were to go north of Whitehorse, closer to the Klondike region, Dawson City. One thing with Dawson City, we actually nominated and awarded Dawson City as one of the top 6 pedestrian-friendly communities in Western and Northern Canada. With Dawson City, I found what we did there is we just basically parked and walked throughout the whole community. I think Dawson City is definitely one to go to. I mean, the dome lookout there, of course, you got Jack London Cabin, which he, of course, wrote, as we all know, White Fang, and I believe Call of the Wild. Robert Service Cabin, that's another place. And the beauty about these, to your listeners, is that they all have interpretive actors as the host. So you have an actor dressed as Robert Service at his cabin, willing to tell you the story. When we were there, he even read from the book for us. We asked him if he could read from the book so we could get it on video. And I got to admit, the actors at your historic sites within the Yukon do a fabulous job. Some of the friendliest ones I've ever met. With other, again, referring to our experience throughout Canada, when you go to a historic site, often they get so bombarded they sort of get camera shy, and sometimes they don't want you to take their photo all the time. Where we found in the Yukon, we found at the historic sites, which did have actors as your hosts, they were more than welcoming, and they were welcoming enough that they'd go above and beyond just getting a picture. They would be reading from, the cremation of Sam McGee. He was reading that. I think that was the one he was reading to us from his cabin there. One of the least marketed areas of the Yukon is towards the Faroe and the Ross River area. One of the nice things between there is that myself, I love dirt roads. I prefer dirt over pave. I think getting muddy and getting dirty is half the excitement, half the adventure. So the Faroe and the Ross River Road was really cool because, you know, you get to take the little ferry across the river near in Ross River. Also within Faroe, even though it's had its trials and tribulations and with a tough time in that community, as there is two things that I really, really enjoyed in Faroe, and that was Sheep Center. I thought that was fantastic. What a pleasant surprise that was. Their big, huge picnic building there and their interpretive signs. And, of course, they have the telescope that's set up there. And I also, one of the biggest surprises, which I came across a lot because no one was telling me about it, was the Van Gooder Waterfall Trail, which is a 1.5-kilometer trail that takes you out to this fabulous lookout that gives you a look over this waterfall crashing down some cliffs. And it was just majestic. And I was totally surprised. You get to walk across a long, raised, sort of come-see-come-saw swinging bridge that will take you to this wooden lookout.
I agree with you. It's a fantastic place. In fact, we did a podcast on the Faroe Sheep and Crane Viewing Festival last year. So if people want a little taste of what you're saying to help them plan their trip, they should definitely listen to that episode. By the way, just to make this clear for folks who maybe aren't familiar with the road system, Faroe and Mayo are accessible off the Robert Campbell Highway, and that connects in two places. One is at the Alaska Highway at Watson Lake, and then it loops around and comes out around CarMax, which is on the road on their way from Whitehorse to Dawson City, just to give them a sort of a visual of where they can find these places.
Excellent. Say we go south of Whitehorse. I think Carcross is another place that's worthwhile to see. It's called the Southern Lakes region. In Carcross, one of the things that I was really impressed with when I was there was that their efforts to make tourism more than just the bus tours. What Carcross is really trying to make an effort at, they're really trying to promote their other aspects out there. They've got the Carcross Desert. Some of the nicest scenery and lookouts are in that area. You've got, of course, your Emerald Lake lookout, one of the lakes that really caught our eye because it was so beautiful to look at, and the Robinson Roadhouse, which is used to service the old White Pass Railway. Another I thought was really impressive there was White Mountain. It's not a long trail. I think it was about 2 kilometers long, steep elevation. The highlight of the trail was is you could see just forever, and you get some really nice views. I think you could even have seen Little Atlin Lake and, of course, the mountain ranges on the other side of that.
And they'll find that one on the Atlin Road, which is right off the Tagish Road, which is right off the Alaska Highway at Jake's Corner. They get to Jake's Corner, which is a gas station about an hour south of Whitehorse.
Yukon is a great place to learn about the gold rush. Not only the act of mining, but you also have the entertainment of mining, where you look at the things like Diamond Tooth Gertie's, which is all about entertaining the miners at the time. You can go in there and you can see line dancers. It's just like as if you were back in the old day, I guess you could say.
And that's in Dawson.
Yes, that's in Dawson City. Winter seasons provide you as good, if not better, of a tourism experience. The Northern Lights, you can watch those and dog sledding and do winter camping and have dried food served to you with live entertainment right beside a campfire. You can go cross-country skiing and you can stay in a heated hut and a peak of a mountain all to yourself and to your own group.
What is your most favorite place so far?
I can't even pick my favorite hiking boots. But what I can do in the Yukon is I really, 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 really enjoyed Haines Junction. I really enjoyed the park, Clune National Park. I thought that was absolutely phenomenal. I really, really enjoyed my time when I was in Carcross. I really thought the Southern Lakes area was beautiful. And I really enjoyed the Dempster Highway. I thought, wow, was this an amazing experience to go through the Dempster Highway. Driving was really big for me. When you drive in the Yukon, yeah, the roads, you get different variants of road conditions. But it's the destinations on each of these roads, and all the roads that are absolutely spellbinding. Every corner you come across and there's an alpine lake. Every corner you turn around and there's a big looming mountain in front of you. Every corner you turn, there's bighorn sheep crossing the highway. Every corner there's a grizzly grazing in a grass field right next to you. Every corner there's a black bear and his little cubs working into the forest coming out. The Yukon is a tourism mecca.
When I first explored the Yukon, I realized that in the Yukon, anything can happen and something always does.
Yes, I agree with very much. You've got a lot of multi-purpose trails too in Yukon, which I was really surprised of. In a lot of parts of the country, you can only go on a trail and you can only hike it. I found in the Yukon, though, your trails are more seasonal, where you had more trails where you could hike, horseback, mountain bike, and then in the winter, you could snowmobile, cross-country ski, snowshoe. And I thought that was absolutely fantastic, where I could go on a trail and I can experience that trail in all different seasons. I can see it in the summer, I can see it in the winter, and it takes me to a lake where I could swim in the summer, and it'll take me to a lake where I can ice fish in the winter.
It's true, and you really get to know the landscape on a really intimate level. Like even just looking outside the window of my cabin through the seasons, I've taken probably 1,000 photographs out that window, and each one is unique.
Yeah.
For more travel tips on visiting the Yukon, go to yukona.com. That's yukonah.com. Next week on My Yukon Life, we'll be featuring highlights from this last weekend's fly-in at Atlin, British Columbia. I'll take you with me on a flight above Outland Lake in the 1943 Beechcraft Staggerwing biplane. We'll also hear from kids who took their first ride ever on a small plane, which happened to be one of the planes I flew while in flight school. Look for that podcast beginning Monday night, July 9th. That'll be here on My Yukon Life at myyukonlife.com, as well as on iTunes. And remember to like My Yukon Life's Facebook page if you haven't already. Be sure to visit our online store at myyukonlife.com. I'm Jennifer Hawks. Thanks for being part of My Yukon Life.